But it's nice and toasty in the studio with Kevin Kingston and John Rudy of Kingston Wealth Management. Welcome back from the holidays, gentlemen.
Thanks.
We survived.
I'm happy to be here with you, as I think we may, possibly during the show, see an all-time high on the stock market. It looks like we're getting close to 24,000.
Well, those two words, all-time high, have been used a lot this year.
Have you even forgotten what the all-time high is?
Yeah, including yesterday. You know, it's been an unbelievable run, and Chris, my son, and I were commenting yesterday, even in the face of yesterday, when some of the news came out in the afternoon about the potential issues with going on in North Korea, the market just kind of looked at it and thought, oh, okay. And then they paused and then they right back at it. It's just been an unbelievable run, Kevin, and as witnessed by record highs both in the S&P and the Dow.
And NASDAQ. NASDAQ's up over 28% here today. And then you have an S&P up about 17 and the Dow up almost 20, John.
And what is the reasoning, again,
well,
in case we were curious?
Earnings have just been unbelievable. I made a couple of notes, Kevin. I'm sure you do, too. But one of the things that I jotted down is that technology earnings, tech stocks, in the S&P 500 have risen 39% this year. That's the largest since 2009. It's really getting into levels that are just unbelievable when you look at that. And earnings across the board, Kevin, Caterpillar, other companies have just had phenomenal earnings this year. So, Susan, everything for the most part, I think when you look at equities and you look at markets, earnings, Kevin, do you believe is the driver for the most part?
I would clearly say, John, that's number one. And right behind it, you know, yesterday you had Jerome Powell talking about easing regulations on small banks. That's extremely favorable. Senate Budget Committee approved the tax plan yesterday. Even though November consumer sentiment was not quite as strong as October, still year to date and compared to last year, consumer confidence is very strong.
They certainly showed that on Cyber Monday.
Yeah, which
Black
we're
going
to talk about that because I think that all kind of dovetails on some of the things we're talking about. Susan, GDP 3.3% announced for the third quarter growth, which is the fastest that we've seen in many years. Kevin, when you look at those kinds of issues and you see people feeling like there's some opportunities out there, maybe with this tax plan possibly getting done before the end of the year or maybe early in January. It's just unreal when you start seeing growth like we're starting to see. And really, we shouldn't be surprised by this kind of growth. This is the kind of growth that this country should be achieving on a regular basis. And we haven't seen that for a while. But I'm very, very optimistic when I see things like that going on.
And John, this you just mentioned the tax legislation. I mean, that really has to get done. Yeah. If it doesn't, it'll be very disappointing. And candidly, you look at the Senate and the House, and when you have people talking about we're not going to support it and dissent, they've got to come together on this and get it completed. I mean, if we could get that 20% tax rate on corporations to bring money back in the U.S. We've probably talked about it ad nauseum, but I mean, it's just so important to have that happen.
One of the things I know could derail temporarily some of this euphoria in the markets is if you don't get that, the government funded, I think the 8th is the date, and there's some question as to whether or not there's going to be some motivation not to do it. One of the things is you may or may not know, folks listening, that it's not always about what's in the budget numbers. It's about what's trying to be tacked on, policy issues, which I quite frankly always have a problem when you're trying to mix policy issues to a budget. But it could get derailed. And Kevin, I suppose that in that instance, it could have some temporary effects on markets in general. I wouldn't be surprised to see that.
Let's hope that doesn't happen, John. Hopefully we get this tax deal done and, we had Trump talking to the empty chairs yesterday. Pelosi and Schumer didn't show up.
Yep.
You know, when people won't even come to the table and talk, it's very discouraging. But in spite of that, hopefully we'll get this done.
Yeah, I hope so. I think it's huge for the country. It really is. And I know there's going to be people question about who's going to benefit the most. But the fact of the matter is, we haven't had a tax plan get done for a long, long time, and people in the middle do need some tax breaks. And I'm not going to profess to say I know everything inside of it, but I do know that
changes every day, which makes it hard for all of us to keep track.
And let's be honest, it's not going to be whatever form that's voted in. If it's voted in the Senate, it's going to get tossed back to the House for some more negotiation. So, but that's how things get done. I mean, I've always said the perfect can be the enemy of the good, and if you're looking for perfect in any kind of these things, you're not going to get them. So
Right. Sometimes
you just got to move on. A couple other things that I just pointed out before we get to some of our topics later in the show. Kevin, home buying, it looked like existing home sales rose 2% in October, which is still a good sign when you get to this time of the year and you see housing still continue to get some momentum. I think that's kind of nice. I think locally, I won't speak for McLean County, but I know in Champaign County, it's been a little bit softer this last month or two, following a really good spring and summer. But I think on balance, when you get housing numbers move forward, it's a good thing.
A lot of young people are going out and seeing, hey, we've got these low interest rates. And even in some places, you're hearing back from the realtors that there's not enough opportunity in the market. They don't have enough selection to choose from, and so it's very encouraging. And we are seeing uprising numbers after a little slump there for a while here locally. My husband's in that industry, and all of a sudden he's working more than he was before when it comes to home inspections. Leading indicators are taking a leap upward. Can I just review really quick as we're looking at the financial numbers?
Sure.
What is the all-time high right now, do we know, for the Dow? Are we going to hit, if 24,000, is that a new breaking point?
Yeah, it's there. Yeah, 23,928 right now. That's an all-time high.
Yeah.
Record high yesterday.
I will shout it out if we hit it today.
Well, and I was talking with the guys this week a little bit too, Kevin, and you can talk about this as well. For people who have taken your advice and to regularly contribute to these 401k plans and we're seeing those numbers going forward, you've been rewarded for the most part, regardless of whether or not you were 60, 40, 40, 60, whatever you picked out. Chances are you're probably having some pretty good results when you're looking at your statement right now.
We had a retirement plan review yesterday with some clients and many participants in the room, maybe 40 out of 50, 60 total participants. We had 40 that came to the meeting and participated. And, John, I mean, you have to talk about good and bad together, I think. Mm-hmm. So you look back to 08, 09, when we had a true bear market, down over 20% by far. And then you look at today where we were just talking about markets up 20%. So when you look at that on average, it's get invested, stay invested, keep making your contributions, and that's what works. And you know, you're sitting in a review meeting with retirement plan participants. One person had a 25% gain, you know, because they're pretty heavy equities and pretty aggressive. But even those conservative participants in the room were up about 12%. So, I mean, when you have that kind of year, then it speaks to why you want to stay invested. Don't try to pick this is going to be a good year or this is going to be a bad year. And just stay invested. Keep putting your money in, especially if you have a lot of time. So when you look at somebody who's not in retirement and they're accumulating, John, and then you look at that longevity issue, Randy O'Brien, who works with our firm, brought up the longevity issue. So somebody retiring at 65, they might be in retirement for 30-plus years.
Which we're going to talk about.
So that's why you need to stay invested, get a long-term view, make that money last through lifetime.
And Chris commented last week, Kevin, and just briefly, and I think it makes sense because you kind of touched on it, is not to overreact because of what happened in one year or one potential time in the market, because the very next year, the year after that, could be great. International was a great example. International this year has just done very, very well.
Markets
unbelievable.
Rebounded.
So when you try to say, well, that wasn't so good last year, so I'm going to get out of that. And that's, I think, where the guys made the point. That's where you get into trouble when you start moving things around arbitrarily because you think it did bad in any one. That's going to be a predictor of future.
That's the value of diversification. You hold a little bit of international. You hold a little bit of emerging markets. You get diversified, and you keep that diversification diversification in good and bad years.
You know, one other story. Kevin talked about the small banks getting some favorable information and favorable decision on some potential easing of some regulatory controls that have been on them. I think I talked about it maybe a few weeks ago, but I think in the news, I think you have to mention, you still see some of the larger institutions making the same mistakes. Wells Fargo was in the news again this morning. Once again, this time it was on the consumer side, on home loans and insurance issues, and the OCC has come flat out and said, hey, you put me on notice. Almost like when in my days in banking, you used to get the memorandum of understanding. Then the next thing you got was a stronger letter. And I think it just speaks to the fact that even with softening regulations, you've got to adhere to these standards. And they're not going to put up with it. And if you pick up the Wall Street Journal this morning or any publication, you'll see it. It's just one of those reminders for everybody.
Exactly.
And I think particularly in the small community banks, because we've got some awful healthy community banks in this area, in which we're very fortunate.
Now, for those of us who didn't grow up in the banking business, mm-hmm. I'm just out of curiosity, what would be the punishment that would be effective for a bank as large as Wells Fargo? What's the most that could happen?
I'm telling you, and again, I'm not suggesting in any case that would happen, but I know in the regular banking world, if you start getting official notifications and letters of, memorandums of understanding, cease and desist, the next step is, and they've done for many, many banks, is that, they put you out. Now, I'm not anyway suggesting that they're even close to that, because they're not. But that's a potential remedy if you don't.
Large fines.
It's a harsh, the fines are going to be the big deal. And but it just points to the fact that, you have to be very, very careful. And I'm sure their management group and their boards will get together and understand that this needs to be taken very, very seriously, and they need to clean up their act and get it done. So,
gentlemen, let's take a break, and then we'll come back, and we'll talk more about things like health insurance rates. John, have you gotten your new health insurance rates for the year?
I'll tell you about it.
He's the one of the three of us that doesn't get a corporate rate, and we'll find out more about that and how it could affect you after this on WJBC.
Remodeling.com Studios. This is the voice of Central Illinois, WJBC and WJBC.com.
10:25. Don't forget the 36th annual Greater Peoria Farm Show is happening today. Started yesterday at the Peoria Civic Center. And Kent Kasson was broadcasting live there yesterday. He's going to do it again today from noon till 2. All the latest in agriculture playing in Peoria as Illinois' largest indoor farm show with over 150,000 square feet of agriculture exhibits is underway. Over 350 companies representing over 1,000 product lines and services. No, they're not going to ask for your farmer card when you come in the door. Anybody can go. It's actually very educational and very entertaining. The first time I went to a farm show, I was like, I don't need a tractor. Why am I here? And I learned quite a bit. In studio every Wednesday from 10 to 11 a.m., our friends from Kingston Wealth Management, Kevin Kingston, owner-proprietor, John Rudy, his right-hand man, tell us what's going on in the markets and put it into a way that even I can understand it, which I appreciate.
We talked a little bit about the housing getting a boost, and Kevin, you had a little bit of information on mortgages.
Well, I was just commenting off fair, John, when you were talking about housing, the other big factor there that's contributed to a robust housing market is really low interest rates. We still have a 30-year mortgage rate that's under 4% nationally, and I was just commenting to John, when you look at the last 45 years, the average 30-year rate has been over 8%. So we keep talking about these historical low interest rates, John, but I think it just helps put it in perspective when you look at the last 45 years averaging 8. We've talked about mortgage rates in the 80s of 15%.
Yeah.
So here we are this year. You can still do a 30-year mortgage for under 4. The 15 on average might be in that 3 to 3.5%
range.
Awfully
good.
So it's
really
helped.
Looked it up. It's 3.25 if you got the really good credit rating.
Well, and again, these things shouldn't go unnoticed, because this all helps to contribute to a healthy economy. I mean, when you get people doing things, buying things, moving, it's a domino effect. I mean, it just raises all the all the ships in that case.
It's very possible we'll see the Fed do a rate hike in December.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a given, but I think highly likely. But you're seeing low inflation. The Fed has continued to say they'll move slowly on raising rates, so it should continue to help this housing market, John, the next year.
I would agree with you. All right, Susan, let's talk health care.
Okay, because I got mine about a month ago. I had to sign up for next year's health care, and I was hearing grumbling around the office, and I got right into some people's faces and said, hey, look at what the rest of the world is paying when it comes to insurance. Now, are the prime example of a man over the age of 40 who's having to buy individual insurance.
Affordable Care Act,
right?
Well over.
He's 42 now.
well over 40.
And if you were lucky enough to retire sometime soon, this would be the exact rate that you'd be paying because you're not eligible for Medicare and Medicaid yet?
No. Here's the hard facts. You got a couple choices, basically, in under the Affordable Care Act in Illinois, and it's Blue Cross Blue Shield, Health Alliance, and there may be another option in there that may not be not that I would like. But the long story is I got a letter from Blue Cross saying that they've eliminated my plan this year, how about this great plan? And all it was is everything they won't give you and everything you're not going to be able to do, that they were going to take away the HSA ability,
which is
your only ability to put some tax money away pre-tax to pay for some of those things. So long story short, I called my insurance guy and he goes, no, wait a minute. He goes, there's other Blue Cross plans, which he did put me in, which is HSA. So I think for people out there listening, if you get that renewal notice that from Blue Cross, don't accept that as the end all be all. But the bottom line is it went up. I mean, I'm not afraid to tell you.
Went up a little.
Went up from $900 to $1,050 a month. So that's before I do anything.
For just you or you and
just
your wife?
Me, single.
Wow.
So for people out there talking about this Affordable Care Act being affordable, it's not. Right. I mean, I'm here to tell you, it's not. And
and so many others, John, are eligible for some subsidies that you don't get.
I don't get anything.
Yeah, once you're on the radio, you get no subsidies.
You get no. But here's the deal: if they will open this thing up, Kevin, and I know Steve Leisman from our groups talked about that. You open this thing up like they're trying to get done across state lines, bringing in more insurers into the pool, it will drive some costs down.
And the competition is gone.
It's gone.
There's
just
no competition. You have two choices.
Two choices.
It's ridiculous. You turn the clock back before the Affordable Care Act, and we had 13 choices.
Yeah. And so it just raises the awareness that we have to get this thing solved because – yeah, I'm very fortunate. I can handle that. It's not an issue and break or break issue for me. There are a lot of folks out there that are struggling with families to try to do that. Kevin, you talked about a situation on a family friend who had to make the decision on selling their home or having family coverage, and they chose keeping family coverage.
Family of four with young children, their premium went to $1,800 a month.
I mean, that's just...
And they have no subsidies, so they pay that on their own, and they made the right call. They decided to sell their house, rent for a while, and hope we get a health law that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, so anyway, I think if you're out there listening, be prepared. I know you. There's still ways to try to find the best solution you can, but I'll be real honest with you. There's not a lot of options if you're on the
And by all means, if you need some help, Steve Leisman, Lance Leisman, who work with our firm, Luke, are available to give you some alternatives.
Yeah.
And the reason we also bring that up is because this is why you need to know if you're going to have enough money to fund your health care when you retire. That's a big factor
in
your
retirement. And we'll talk about that later.
And how long might you be funding your health care? Could be to 100.
Yep.
Hey, I'm more excited about living longer now that I feel like my independence won't be as restricted. Imagine when we get to the days of self-driving cars and more I know everybody's worried about artificial intelligence taking over the world. But the moment things become easier for seniors, the more vital their lives can be.
I was telling Kevin on the way over here, I had a friend who needs a self-driving car. She's an older lady and unfortunately mistook the brake for the accelerator and ran into three cars in a Kohl's parking lot last week. So, I mean, so I think we could all, as we get older, we can use some of those helps.
Well, we'll talk more about affording to live into the age of 100 with Kevin Kingston and John Rudy from Kingston Wealth Management after news.
News at the
clouds cooler today, high 51. Clouds and a chance of showers tonight. Low 39 tomorrow, some clouds, high 52. And on Friday, mostly sunny, high 51. 46 right now. Kevin Kingston, John Rudy, stay until 11 o'clock here on WJBC talking money news. And I am inspired as, over the holiday weekend when y'all were flying and driving all over the place, we were playing with our new in-home technology. I did a show on this yesterday about the fact that now I have the Alexa little Echo Dots.
Oh, I got that.
House.
I love it.
And now I realize I have the ability to call out for help.
Yeah.
Should I fall down?
There you go.
It's connected to my phone. I could
use it a couple years ago.
I could have used it last year. Luckily, I had my phone with me at the time. But if I needed help, I could do it. We have the future of self-driving cars. I'm starting to become more enthused about living longer because I think there's going to be more assistance for me, right?
Absolutely.
Tell me how I can afford to live that long.
Well, that's the question I think we're all asking ourselves is, can we afford to live to 100 and, you know, or, you know, will you run? Will you outlive your money? And, Kevin, I know that is probably, to boil it down in its simplest terms, one of the biggest questions or one of the biggest issues that come up when you are talking with clients. But obviously, the notion of living to 100, even 105, is not out of the realm of reality in the very near future. Many more. I think they're saying 25% chance now of living more into their 90s, more folks.
My uncle Ike is a week away from turning 95.
Yeah.
And he and his wife still live at home independently.
You got to love it.
Mm-hmm.
And even when you look at all the things in this life expectancy, Kevin, it really kind of poses a question. Some of the things you guys have talked about, you can look at Social Security, but we're still retiring with inadequate savings, aren't we, as a country?
Correct, John. I mean, we definitely, fortunately, we work with a lot of people who have saved their money, invested well, and continue to do that. But when you look at the averages in America, it's not good. You mentioned a statistic that I think is so important, and it's based on if you're 65 years old today, the actuaries say that you have a 25% chance of living into your 90s, and about 1 in 10 may live to 100 or longer.
Man.
So that puts a strain on the Social Security system, puts a strain on the Medicare system, and you just have to focus on, hey, that life expectancy is longer today, John. You know, you turn the clock back 30 years, somebody 65 had nowhere near that long of life expectancy.
We both have had parents in skilled nursing care, and you mentioned visiting your mother and seeing some friends out there. When you take a skilled care on top of maybe one partner living in assisted living,
absolutely.
I mean, you're looking at $12,000, $13,000 a month. How many people can look at that savings that they've put together over the years and figure out a way to make that last?
Not very many.
Not
John.
Very many,
I mean,
at all.
That's a small percentage that can handle that financially.
There's three factors, Susan, I think that we look at, I think, that have sort of led to this crisis, and I'll name them off and let Kevin comment, but not saving enough, living longer than ever, and the retirement planning process really kind of now requires some self-reliance on doing some things. Kevin, talk about a couple of those
I want to quickly mention we use some Vanguard funds and think very highly of that group as a company, and They did a study recently. The retirement savers age 65 or older on average have balances saved of just $197,000.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, you just mentioned some numbers that you could quickly deplete that
couple
in
years.
A year or two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's right. So if that's the average savings, you know, and it begs the question, well, how much is enough? We've talked about that previously. We can talk about it again. But you can clearly say somebody age 65, if their total savings or investments are under $200,000, it's just not enough. I mean, you look at that along with what you receive from Social Security perhaps, and maybe somebody has a pension in addition to that. Maybe they don't. But the withdrawal rate on $197,000, John, if you stay in that 4-5% withdrawal rate, I mean, that's not very much income.
Boy, it's not, Kevin. And again, you know, when – emphasizing that self-reliance, you know, people are, many people are trying to do things on their own and they're trying to figure it out, but it's not always easy, is it? I mean, trying to figure out what to do, how to do it, when to do it, when to pull the trigger, just a number of factors that can really derail.
Well, maybe one way to address that, John, and we advocate this on occasion, and that's retire a little later.
I was going to mention
If you're taking Social Security at 65, 66, we've talked about, Susan, on average that if you can delay that, it'll increase that benefit about 8% a year. So the latest or, you know, the ideal age, frankly, to take it might be age 70, because then you're achieving the highest benefit from Social Security available.
I was told that by an investment advisor when I was 25. They said, be prepared that you will not get Social Security until you're 70 to make it even remotely effective. And so I've just always planned for that age.
Well, and again, I think, you know, for me, I know it's, I think I can do full at 66 in a couple of months. But Kevin, briefly, talking about retiring later, if you, the problem is if you take Social Security at that younger age and you're working, you might find yourself in a position, depending on where you're at, where you're paying some of that back, $2 for every dollar. I think it's over 14.
Yeah,
I don't quote me on
about
that.
$15,000 a year, you're going to pay tax.
So you have to have all those things into consideration when you make those choices to do that.
Let's take a short break, and then we'll come back and we'll wrap up the show with more ways for retirees to respond to the challenges of trying to make retirement well-funded. Kevin Kingston, John Rudy, they're here to help, and they have many associates in their office that are always willing and able to take your phone call. Even though we can't take them on the show, we can take them at the office. We'll tell you how you can call and make your first appointment, which is always free after this on WJBC. 1047. We still got a couple of moments here with our friends John Rudy, Kevin Kingston of Kingston Wealth Management. Before we go any farther, John, just remind us of the phone number and website and the place where people can come and talk about their situation.
If you've got questions, if you've got some things, particularly as we get here to the year end, Kevin, I know even though this is a busy time for us, this is a time when people typically have some financial issues that they got to get decided on or maybe preparing for the first of the year. If you want to do that, you can reach us at 663-9477, and never an issue. We'll sit down. Guys will sit down with you, maybe give you some pointers, answer some questions, if nothing else. And KingstonWealthManagement.net, if you want to go to the website. As you've mentioned before, Susan, so kindly, it's user-friendly. I think it gives you some good
ideas.
Very
much so. There's a lot of different places in the world that I don't want to put my personal information into, but you can do that without revealing your identity into the models, the economic models that you've put up that are easy to understand on your website. And I think that is a really good tool for people to learn why they might need to come in and get some help.
No
and
question.
That they can't
and
afford
I, I would just add to John what you commented. It's never too late. I mean, sometimes people say, "Well, I waited too late.
Right.
I just don't think it'll make any difference." It's never too late, to do some good financial planning. It'll still pay off.
And
if you're 65 and really don't feel like you're in a position to retire, Now's the time to start working towards age 70.
And there's some tools and provisions out there that allow for people who get past age 50, 55. There's some things that kick in that give you some opportunities to do some catch-up. Mm-hmm. And those are things you guys can cover.
I will also testify that Kingston Wealth Management does a nice job of intervening when the family has opposing viewpoints.
Yes.
And they all think they know what they're talking about.
Right.
Go
mediator.
See a
Are there any families who don't have?
yeah, that all took place at Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we're just saying they might find some that are more stubborn than others.
We talked a little bit about some of the things that people are facing when they get to trying to live to later in life. And Kevin, there's some things that pre-retirees can do, and we talked a little bit, one you mentioned about retiring later. But I think the one that keeps coming back all the time is that the old notion of save and invest more and spend less. Easy to say, hard to do. You still emphasize that a lot when you're going through the planning process, don't you?
It's critical, John, to good planning. If you're consuming all the income you have every year, there won't be anything to invest. And somehow you have to find a way. It's back to live within your means and don't spend the money earns. It's so simple, but yet difficult to do.
Are you seeing people being more responsible with respect to withdrawal rates, Kevin, when they get to the point where they're starting to take it out? Are they starting to heed, not trying to do overly aggressive, go 5, 6, 7%, and they're dropping maybe more?
In the 90s, we clearly saw people trying to withdraw too much, John, mm-hmm. where you saw returns maybe averaging in the 8, 9, 10%. So people thought they could withdraw that every year. Then you have the tech bubble followed by the credit crisis, and those account balances go backwards.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I think there was a wake-up call to many investors. Oh, I better control my withdrawal rate, and we're back to that. 4%, 5%, I think, is realistic if you have account balances that are earning that much or more. Ideally, earning something like 6 or 7 and withdrawing 4 or 5, so your capital's growing. If you have all your assets in a bank account earning 0.5% or 1%, there's no way you can withdraw.
It's a disaster.
those rates.
No question. Last on my list, I think, on that ways that you can respond to the challenges is that we talked a little bit. You know, don't be embarrassed about consulting a financial professional rather than going it alone. It's not an easy thing to go alone. It's hard. If you don't do this every day, if you're not used to how these things work, we're not accountants, we're not attorneys, Kevin. That's why we bring, when we're looking at estate deals, if you're dealing with a client, you're not trying to do it on your own. And that's the same thing for folks who are trying to do a plan on their own and trying to map that next 35 years out. You know, if there's help out there, there's some great, you know, I think you guys do a great job, but there's other good options here in McLean County. But really think about that, because I think it can make a difference.
It clearly does, John. We've seen that over and over, and that's why I said earlier it's never too late. Somebody who gets involved with a financial advisor like Chris, Mike, somebody in our firm or elsewhere who has gone through the background and education, and that's what they do every day. We have the most robust financial planning software that we use that I've ever seen. You know, technology has enhanced those kind of things. It just gets better.
Yeah.
And to have somebody walk through that with you that kind of keeps you in check makes a huge difference.
Susan, 30 seconds, and I can't leave your oil topic out because we didn't touch on that. But I'll just say briefly.
I checked the gas prices earlier. Yeah. They dropped a little bit.
They're good. But and really what's happening, Chris and I were talking about this yesterday. We touched on that $60 barrel in West Texas crude.
And 58 today.
Yeah. 50, but the fact of the matter is, in long story short, demand worldwide has certainly increased. And I think that's could be the continuation as we go forward. So not unusual, Kevin, or not unlikely that we'll see oil prices stay in that range for a while.
I was keeping my eyes on the prices because we had some oil spills, and I didn't know if that was going to cause a large turnaround, but it didn't in the market.
No, it's still very preferential buying opportunities for at the gas pumps here, at least in Central Illinois right now.
I will thank you both for your services rendered, and we will come back next week. We're starting to get to that point where it's end of the year. I mean, next week
it'll
be December, gentlemen. So we'll start talking about those financial dealings you got to get done before the end of the year, because the tax man saith.
Yep.
You need to do that with Kevin Kingston, John Rudy, and more, always here on Wednesdays on WJBC. Securities offered through Valmark Securities, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Valmark Advisors, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor. Kingston Financial Group, Incorporated is a separate entity of Valmark Securities, Inc. and Valmark Advisors, Inc., and past performance does not guarantee future results.